As you might have noticed, I am not Jamie. And I apologize for that fact. It is his fault. He apparently Memorial Day wasn't enough for him, and he needed a little bit more. And so, but it's a pleasure for me to get to be here with you. I'm Jeff. I'm one of the pastors here. And I'm going to tell you, it's a privilege for me to get to fill the pulpit of Jamie Ward, because I love Jamie, and God has used Jamie in my life. Amen. Are y'all excited about Pastor Jamie? How about a hand for Pastor Jamie? All right, now I've earned the 10 bucks he promised me. So, tonight we continue in our series, Encountering Jesus After the Resurrection. And so for the past several weeks, Pastor Jamie's been talking a bit to you about when the disciples saw Jesus after he was raised from the dead. And so the central truth of who we are as followers of Christ is found in the fact that God became flesh, that Jesus came into this world through the womb of a virgin peasant Jewish girl. She gave birth to him, and he lived for 33 years. And during that 33 years, he did not sin one time. And at the end of that 33 years, we crucified him. That he took your sin and my sin upon himself, and he died on the cross to pay in full the price for our sin. He died to take the punishment that we deserved. We broke the rules, he didn't. He took the punishment so we didn't have to. That's the gospel. And he died. But then 3 days later, he arose from the grave, and that is the greatest truth in all of human history. Jesus Christ didn't stay dead, and he lives today. And after 40 days, he ascended into heaven, where he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and he'll come back one day. Don't know when, but he's coming back for us. Amen? And for those of us who are in Christ, that's a great truth. That's not something to be scared of. That's something to celebrate, that one day, as crazy as this world is, Jesus is coming for us. And he's going to get us, and he's going to take us home. And the only reason any of us are going to make it to heaven is because of what he's done. Not because we're good enough. Not because we're smart enough. Not because we went to church enough. Not because we heard Pastor Jamie enough. But because of what Jesus has done, and that's the only reason. Well, tonight I got to tell you, the passage of scripture that I'm going to preach tonight is really one of those passages that I felt for a long time didn't really apply to me. We're going to Matthew chapter 28. If you got your Bible, turn over to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to start at verse 16. And tonight we're talking about the Great Commission. And so before you tune me out, I need you to know something. If you're like me and you once thought that the Great Commission just applied to preachers and missionaries, you're wrong. Okay? One of the most daunting things I get to do as a pastor is I get to talk to people who go all over the world to carry the message of Jesus Christ. Even in this room, we have a family that's fixing to move to Cancun, Mexico, not because they're going for vacation, but because they're going to actually do something about the problem of orphans who are sold into sex trafficking. They're going to do more than draw a red X on their hand and take a picture and put it on Facebook. They're relocating their entire lives. So that children might know Jesus, so that children might be protected, so that children might be stopped from going into Satan's hands. And they're going down there and they're taking their one-year-old baby with them. Now, I don't know about you, but that to me is a profound depth of faith. Amen? And so when I talk to people who are doing, yeah, go ahead. They're in here somewhere. I saw them. But I'm going to tell you, when I talk to people who are doing those things like that, and maybe you have this experience too, I kind of feel like, to some degree, a little bit of a sissy Christian. Anybody? You there with me? That maybe, you know, they're like super spiritual and I'm just normal spiritual. They're super Christians, I'm just normal to deficient Christian. Does that make sense? I mean, guys, I talk to people all the time who serve in places like Indonesia and China. Did you know that if you share the gospel in China, you could be imprisoned? You could be kicked out of the country? There's even a possibility that they could hide you and kill you. Did you know that? Did you know that if you go to Sudan in Africa and you share the gospel in Sudan, chances are better that you will be found in a body bag than on a flight home? These are the realities of the world that we live in. And so for those of us who are in America and those of us who aren't going all over the world, sometimes we feel like, well, that's for those people. Or maybe you find yourself thinking that what we're fixing to talk about is just for people like Pastor Steve and Pastor Jamie. You know, these guys who, man, that, you know, I mean, my gosh, nobody can deny their giftedness. They walk into a room and everybody's watching them, right? They start talking, and you know, Pastor Steve could be talking about toenail polish and people would listen, wanting to hear what he had to say about it, you know? So maybe it's just for those kind of people who are really, really magnetic and charismatic, and these people that God is using in great ways, people, you know, like Billy Graham and all the different evangelists that God has used over the course of the years. Well, I want you to know before we even go to this text that it's not just for the super Christians, because there's no such thing as a super Christian. There are people who are following Jesus. And if you're going to follow Jesus, and if I'm going to follow Jesus, then that means something about us. It means several things, and that's what this text is going to speak to. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and open to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to verse 16. This is after Jesus has risen from the dead. And it says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee. Why not 12? Judas, right? Judas betrayed Jesus, tried to fix it himself. It didn't work out, so he hanged himself. Just a little free tip that really doesn't have much to do with the sermon tonight. If you find yourself in a bad situation, it's better to run back to Jesus than to try to fix it yourself. If you run back to Jesus, you know what he says? Come on. If you try to fix it yourself, you know what you find out? You can't. And so you find yourself in despair and depression, and you end where Judas ended. So the 11 disciples, not the 12, but the 11, they went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, when they saw Jesus, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now, you know what I love about this text? This exact same thing is happening right now. Right now, at 3219 Nashville Road, in this room. You're here because Jesus commanded you to be here. Did you know that? The reason you're here is because Jesus said so. Now, you may have heard that call from Jesus through a friend who invited you, through a coworker who invited you, through a good-looking Pastor Jamie who attracted you. Whatever it is that got you here, what really got you here is because Jesus said so. Jesus commanded you to come here, and so congratulations, you've already obeyed God just by showing up here tonight. You've come to this place because that's where Jesus told you to go. Something in you said, instead of being outside, we're coming to church tonight. Instead of working in the garden or working in the yard or doing whatever otherwise you would have done, you came to church tonight. Why? Because Jesus said so. And so because Jesus said so, he expects something from you. They went to the mountain where Jesus commanded them to go, and what did they do there? They worshiped. Didn't we just do that? We're kind of still doing that now by hearing his word. They worshiped him. Worthy are you, Jesus. The Bible is full of worshipful verses of scripture. If you turn to Revelation, you get a glimpse of heaven, man. And it's incredible, the worship that's going on in heaven right now. You know, today I did one of the harder things that ministry involves, and that is to talk to a parent who just lost a child. Now, the child was grown in the early 20s, but still a child. There was a freak car accident, one car, nobody else was involved. All indications are she fell asleep at the wheel, okay? And the car went off the road and rolled, and thankfully, the autopsy shows she died instantly. And so there's some silver linings in this dark cloud, but this mother whose entire life has been devoted to making sure this little girl is taken care of and raised up in the ways of the Lord, who's gone to bat for her, who's gone to fight for her, who's fought with her for her, if you get what I'm saying. Parents, sometimes you got to fight with your kids because you're fighting for your kids and they're heading to destruction and you're trying to bring them back. And this mother has been through it with her daughter. And now, unexpectedly, in her early 20s, this daughter is at home with Jesus. And yeah, the church answer is, oh, you should be rejoicing. Come on. Please don't tell people that. If somebody's in the throes of grief, don't say, well, you should be happy. They should smack you. I'm not joking. Well, you should be rejoicing. No, they shouldn't. Their loved one is gone and they miss them and they're allowed to miss them. And so don't be some kind of obnoxious Christians. Well, at least they're in heaven. You should be fine, right? No, the Bible doesn't even say that. The Bible says grieve, but not as those who have no hope. And so grieve with the realization that there is an eternal hope that we have. And grieve with the realization that your loved one is with Jesus and you will see them again someday, sooner than you think you will. But still grieve. You've got to grieve. So this mother has lost her child. And as I was talking to her today, she said, you know, all I can think of is the fact that the chorus of praise in heaven is a little richer today. Because my daughter's voice has joined with the choirs of angels and elders and martyrs and all those who have gone before her. And she's saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And in the midst of this crazy moment, God gave her some peace because she knew what her daughter did on earth to worship Jesus, she still did in heaven. Worship is something we get to do forever. Billy Graham's team, the two closest people to him, a guy named Cliff Barrows, who always directed his choir, and a guy named George Beverly Shea, who always sang How Great Thou Art, or I'd Rather Have Jesus Than Silver or Gold. George Beverly Shea just died at 104 years of age. Billy Graham's 95. Cliff Barrows is 92. But you know, they always used to kid Billy Graham, because most of y'all don't know George Beverly Shea. Most of y'all don't know Cliff Barrows. You all know Billy Graham. But they always kidded him by saying, you know, in heaven, Dr. Graham, you won't have a job anymore. But we'll always have a job. Isn't that sad? Justin Keith's always going to be employed in God's service. God help us. I mean, I'm sure the grass will cut itself in the heavenly realm, but he's going to be leading the choir somewhere, somehow. Probably with even better hair than he has right now. They worshiped. You know what worship is? It's not just singing songs. It's pouring out from the depths of who you are. Jesus, I love you. Yahweh, you're worthy. You're worthy. You're God. I recognize you're God. You're greater than me. I pour out all that I am in thanksgiving and adoration of you. That's what worship is. And it's not just singing a song. It's living a life. God, throughout the Old Testament, condemns his own people because he says, you worship me with your lips and not your life. And I'm going to tell you something, guys. God is not interested in merely the words of your mouth. He's interested in the condition of your heart that leads to the way you live your life. He wants our lives to worship him, not just our mouths. Yeah, he wants our mouths to worship him. But you know, the Bible says that God reads our hearts. God reads our hearts. And he wants our hearts. Not part of them, all of them. He wants our hearts. And so they worshiped. But you know what some of them did? The same thing some of us did. Doubted. They worshiped him, but some doubted. And there's some in this room right now who are doubting. And you may be doubting because you can't get past the scientific nature of trying to figure out this whole Jesus thing. Dead people don't get back up. Virgins don't have babies. All those questions may be very real in your mind and they may be causing you to doubt. And so maybe that's where your doubt's coming from. Or maybe you're doubting because life stinks right now. And maybe you believe in Jesus and you believe and you want even more to believe. But life is really tough right now. And God, where are you? And so you're doubting because you're not real sure God's paying attention to you. You realize he's probably there somewhere, but it doesn't really seem like God's paying much attention right now. Guess what? There were 11 disciples there on that mountain. 11. They went to where he said to go. They worshiped him. And out of the 11 who were seeing a resurrected Jesus, guess what some of them did? They doubted. And I don't know why they doubted. The Bible doesn't say why they doubted. Maybe it was the outlandish nature of the story itself. Again, dead people don't come back to life. Nobody rents a tomb for 3 days because they don't need it anymore. And so maybe they're doubting for that reason. Maybe they're doubting because of the conditions they were living in. The Roman Empire was no great place for Christians to live at this time. I don't know why they're doubting, but the Bible says they're doubting. And watch what Jesus says. He knows they're doubting, just like he knows some of us are doubting. And you know what he says? He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He doesn't address it. Does that mean he's ignorant of it? Does that mean he doesn't know? Mm-mm. But I want you to hear this tonight. Jesus didn't say, hey, those of you who are worshiping but not doubting, listen up. I've got something for you to do. He didn't say that. You know what he said? He said, I've got all the authority in heaven, and I've got all the authority on earth. So I want you to listen to me. Because my authority is greater than your doubt. My authority is greater than your doubt. My power is greater than your doubt. My reality is deeper than your doubt. How many of you know that it's okay? God can handle if you have a couple of doubts. Now, I know, listen, we're not supposed to be talking about this at church. We're all supposed to have our Jesus faces on. Everybody's happy. If you asked how you're doing, you're fine, right? Everybody's fine in here tonight. If you ask any of you, I'm fine. No, you're not. You're not fine. It's fixing to storm. That means you're not fine. Or things aren't going well at work. That means you're not fine. Or family life is crazy. That means you're not fine. Jamie's not here. That means you're not fine. You see what I'm saying? But we all put on our Jesus faces and we all come in and we all say, I'm fine. You know what? God is bigger than we think he is. And God is more powerful than we think he is. And God can handle more than we think he can, even out of us. And so maybe you've come in here tonight because you said, I'm going to give God one more chance to speak to me. Well, here's what I want you to hear. God's listening, and he knows. He knows better than you think he does. Matter of fact, he knows better than you do. He knows. He's not sleeping. He's not ignorant. He's not paying attention. He knows. And he's there. And he's working even though you can't see it. And even though you can't feel it. And even though you don't know it right now, he's doing something. So hold on. Just hold on. Even though you're doubting, Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. Did you know that as crazy as this world gets sometimes, Jesus still has all authority in heaven and on earth? I'm watching on the History Channel, Jamie Ward, he watches the weirdest shows. And so most of the time when he says, hey, have you seen? I just tune him out. Don't tell him I said that. Because I haven't seen. And then he goes on to tell you everything about it. But he tells you everything about it in a way that somebody who's seen it would understand. Nobody else would, right? So I don't know even how to describe it. He said, have you seen the World War that's on the History Channel, the World Wars or whatever it is? And I said, well, no. He said, well, you need to watch it. So I stayed up till 1 a.m. watching it last night. My wife was snoring on the couch, right? y'all got an extra bed. My wife's on the couch. I'm sitting in the recliner till 1 a.m. I'm watching the World Wars. Man, I'm watching things about Adolf Hitler and Benito Mussolini and FDR and all these circumstances that came together to make for World War I and World War II and the chaos of that moment. And then I watch the news. And I don't know about y'all, but there's a lot of chaos in this moment. Amen? Somebody said the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Well, I heard somebody say they've greased the bottom of the handbasket. It's going even faster than it was. It's chaos. It's crazy. It's ungodly. It's the world we live in right now. But do you know that no matter how crazy the world gets, Jesus still has all authority in heaven and on earth? Jesus had more authority than Adolf Hitler. Jesus had more authority than Benito Mussolini. Jesus had more authority than Winston Churchill. Jesus had more authority than FDR. Jesus has more authority than anybody we got in the office right now. Jesus has more authority than anybody across the world right now. And so, guess what? They may come after us, but just like Jesus before Pilate, guess what we can say? You know what? You would have no authority over me unless Jesus gave it to you. Because he has all authority in heaven and on earth. And because of that, here's what he tells us to do. Now listen, this is not for super Christians. This is for you and for me. So listen to this. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And I got to teach you something here. Pastor Jamie did this on Sunday, so I feel confident. I had to go to seminary. That's one of the things. If you're going to be a preacher, you got to go to seminary. And in seminary, they are mean to you and make you study old languages. I had to learn Greek. Why? Because the New Testament was written in Greek. Well, if you have to study Greek, which is the only reason anybody would know it, unless you're from Greece, if you have to study it, it can tell you some cool things about the Bible. And so when Jamie was teaching about Jesus reinstating Peter, he talked about the difference between agape and philos, right? Jesus says, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I phileo you. And the way Jamie put it was, Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yeah, I like you. But you wouldn't get that if you didn't go back to the Greek. Well, guess what? The Greek matters here too. And here's why. In this commission, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. There's only one action word. There's only one command here. Okay? Now, I'm not going to ask you what it is because you're going to be wrong. Okay? If I asked you what it is, overwhelmingly, most people would say, go, right? And we think about the missionaries who are going. That's not it. That's not an action word at all. Well, others of you might say, well, it's baptized. Because that's, you know, we do that a lot here, and that must be what it's about. And that's not it either. Well, others of you would say, well, it's teach. No, that's not it either. You know what the one verb, the one command in this whole thing is? Make disciples. That's it. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Make disciples. That's what God calls us to do. The first part is not necessarily, hey, you go. You know what it is? It's as you're going, make disciples. Because you know what Jesus was assuming? You were going to go somewhere. How many of y'all went today? Did anybody go today? You got up and came to church. Chance of good, you went to work, or you went to the store, or you went to the park, or you went somewhere today. You know what Jesus is assuming here? Y'all gonna go somewhere. And so what Jesus is saying is, as you go where you go, here's what I need you to do. It's not a command to go out and do life. We're gonna go out and do life naturally. And so as you go where you go, as you do what you do, here's what I want you to do while you're there. Now, for some of you in this room, that means you're fixing to go to Cancun. And you're going to move there for at least 3 years. You're going to transplant your family. You're going to see God do great and wondrous things you can't even imagine right now. For others of you in this room, that means you're going to go home tonight. And for others of you in this room, that means you're going to go to work tomorrow. And for others of you in this room, that means you're going to go to where your children are tonight. And for others of you in this room, that means you're going to go to the IGA or the Junior Food Store or the Minute Mart tonight. You're going somewhere. And so Jesus is not really as concerned with where you're going as what you do when you go there. As you go, he says, make disciples. Make disciples while you're there. Now, you got to understand, the disciples that were there, the 11, they knew exactly what he was saying. You know why? Because they had watched him do it for 3 years. That's what Jesus' ministry was. He was teaching those dozen guys what it meant to be a disciple and to make disciples. To be a disciple means I follow Jesus. It's that simple. It's that old song, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. No turning back. That's what it means to be a disciple. When Jesus called Simon and Andrew, what did he say? Follow me. When Jesus called James and John, what did he say? Follow me. When Jesus called Matthew from his tax collector's booth, what did he say? Follow me. When Jesus called you and me, you know what he said? Follow me. Not come and get your fire insurance so you don't have to go to hell. Follow me. Now, I'll tell you what I'll do is you follow me. I'll forgive you of all your sins. I'll cleanse you of all unrighteousness. I'll make sure that all your sin is separated from you as far as the east is from the west. But here's the other part of grace. I'm going to enable you to come with me. I'm going to show you what I do. I'm going to teach you how I live so that you might become like me. Follow me. Be my disciple. Learn from me. And so the disciples understood what he was saying. Go out and reproduce yourselves. Go out and make more of you. Go get more people. Tell them to follow Jesus and bring them with you. And by the way, be careful when you do, because since I'm fixing to ascend to the Father, they're not going to be able to watch me. They're going to have to watch you. And so the Apostle Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And so go out and make disciples. Disciples. That was the call to those 11 people, and that's the call to all of us in this room right now, to go out and make disciples. Now, here's the question. How do you make a disciple? I know how to make a sandwich. Know how to make a pizza. Not real sure how to make a disciple. Well, because you and I weren't there on the mountain and we hadn't spent 3 years watching Jesus, Jesus went ahead and told us how to do it. That's where the baptize and the teach comes in. Step number two of being a disciple after you give your life to Jesus is to get baptized. Just it. That's step two. Repent and believe. Trust Jesus. Ask him into your life. That's step one. Go get baptized. That's step two. That's step two of being a disciple. And so some of you, you've invited Jesus into your life, but you've never been baptized. So you're stuck at step one. You're holding up the process in your life of becoming more and more like Jesus because you're unwilling to take step two. Be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or according to Acts, you can also be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay? That's step two. And so baptize them. That's what it is to make a disciple. But that's only step two because there's a third step. You know what the third step is? Teach them to observe everything I've commanded you. And so if you're going to be a disciple, what does that mean? Learn everything Jesus commanded you. Well, how do I do that? You come to church. Well, how else do I do that? Well, you go to Bible study. Well, how else do I do that? Well, you get around some people who are following Jesus and you ask them what that means. Well, how else do I do it? You want to know the best way? Just go straight to the source. Read this thing. Jamie had the most profound line on Sunday I've ever heard come out of his mouth. And I've heard some profound things that I've written for him come out of his mouth. You know what it was? He said, you simply are not listening to God if you're not reading his word. That just is what it is. God's spoken. It's right here. You don't have to pray some special prayer. You don't have to do spiritual gymnastics, jump up and down, do cartwheels for Jesus. Lord, I just need a word from you. Just open it and read it, and he'll speak. He'll speak to your situation right where you are. Now, it won't say, hey, you know, go brush your teeth. He gave us brains to infer some things. But he gave us principles by which to live our lives. He's already spoken. There are prayers I don't have to pray. Lord, should I have an affair with somebody other than my wife? I don't have to pray that prayer. You know why? He already told me. No. Lord, should I cheat on my taxes? Do I have to pray that prayer? No. You know why? He already told me. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's. Even though I don't want to pay my taxes, I still have to. He told me to. I don't have to pray that prayer. Lord, should I go rob a bank? No. Thou shalt not steal. Already in here. You see what I'm saying? And so here's the sermon tonight. This is for you. You have two calls to which you've got to respond tonight. First, be a disciple of Jesus. Be a disciple of Jesus. That means surrender your life to him. Believe the gospel. Know that he died for you and receive him as your only Lord and Savior. He'll save you. He'll wash your sin away from you as far as the east is from the west. He will make you his child, and through his spirit dwelling in you, he will help you to live a life that is pleasing to him. Step two, be baptized. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, or in the name of Jesus, either one works. We got water right there. That's step two. Some of y'all been holding out on step two, and tonight God's telling you it's time. You don't have to do it right now, or you can do it right now. We got shorts and t-shirts and robes and waiters and everything we need. But we also have a card where we can schedule it for next week. Third, learn what Jesus said. That's what it means to be a disciple. And then as you do those things, guess what else you're supposed to do? This is the second call. Go make more. Go tell other people how much Jesus loves them. Go tell other people what Jesus will do in their life. You say, well, I'm not a trained evangelist. You don't have to be. Here's your training. Have you been saved? Yes. What did Jesus do? Well, he came into my life, forgive me my sins, because he died on the cross and rose from the grave. You got it. You see? I think sometimes we make this more complicated than what it is. Jesus said, follow me. Believe me. Trust me. Go where I go. Do what I do. And then go make more. And then he gave us this assurance. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Always. Always. He's there. He's there. And so tonight we're going to have a time for you to respond, not to Jeff's words, but to Jesus's words. Tonight maybe you need to become a disciple. You need to say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross to forgive me of my sins, to pay the price for all of them. And so, Jesus, I believe you rose from the grave. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I want to follow you. That's step one. Maybe some of you have done step one and you need to go to step two up there in that water. You say, well, I don't like crowds. Well, that's fine. We don't have to baptize you in front of 500 people. We can baptize you in front of 5 people. But let me challenge you with this. Jesus was crucified before a crowd. You see what I'm saying? But you don't have to get baptized in front of a crowd. We can do it tonight after everybody leaves. That's step two. Step three, learn what he said. And guys, I just want to challenge you. So many times we hear people say, I just want to hear from God, and they're not reading the word. And I echo the words of Pastor Jamie Ward. If you're not reading the word, you're not listening. You're not listening to God. He's spoken openly and freely to whoever would hear him. And so listen. And then he calls you to go make more. Go get more. Go bring more to him. Baptize him. Teach him. That's it. It's not for super Christians. It's for Christian Christians. It's not for super believers. You don't have to wear a big red S on your chest to do this. In fact, we're all supposed to do this. The greatest line I ever heard about the Great Commission is that most of us treat it like flossing. Like dental floss, you know, when you go to the dentist and they get after you because you hadn't been flossing. No, it doesn't happen to me. So I'd heard that that happens to other people. Right? The super people who really want nice teeth, that's what they do. No, it's for everybody. You can do this too. I'm going to tell you something. We get to see 500 baptisms a year plus. And if more of us would embrace that this call is for us, to just go make more of us through the power of the Holy Spirit, dude, we'd see 1,000, 1,500 a year. The world couldn't stop us. You know why? Because Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. Does he have all authority in your life? That's what we're fixing to decide. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, and we thank you together collectively for your word. It is true. And so, Lord, because it's true and because it's spoken to us, we've got to respond. There are people in here tonight who've never given their life to you. And maybe they're struggling with doubt, and maybe they're struggling with issues of life being tough right now. God, where are you? Lord, I pray that you would show them by your Spirit that you're right there. You've already spoken to them, that you're listening. And so, Lord, tonight, show them. So tonight, I pray that there would be people who would come to this altar and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me my sins. I want to follow you. And Lord, there are people in this room tonight who've done that, but they've never gone to step two. They've never been baptized. And tonight I pray that they would finally say, Lord, okay, I get it. I'm going. I'm a little nervous, but you know, I bet you were nervous to go to the cross, so I'm going to go ahead and go. And so, Lord, if somebody needs to take step two tonight, let them take it. For others of us, Lord, we need to get in your word. We need to hear what you've said. We need to say, Lord, speak. We're listening. And part of what you said is to go and make more disciples. And so, Lord, whatever needs to happen at this altar in my life and all of our lives, may it happen right now. We're going a lot of places as soon as we leave here. As we go, please help us to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that you've commanded. And Lord, remind us that you're with us always, even to the end of the age. In the name of Jesus, this altar is open. Please come. Please come.